Welcome to The Magnetic Voice, here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel, a show where speakers and singers learn how to be more magnetic and align their voices to the divine within. Today, episode 20, Influence with a Heart, with special guest Ben Joya. And now your host, Monique McDonald.
Hello, and welcome to the Magnetic Voice podcast. My name is Monique McDonald, and I am here with the darling Ben Joya. Ben, I am so excited to have you here with us today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Monique. It's an absolute pleasure and delight and joy to be here.
Joya. In case those of you don't know, Joya, Ben's last name, is the Italian word for joy. So as an opera singer, Joya was one of the first Italian words that I learned because it was in so many of my arias. So when I met Ben, I just started singing Joya, Joya. So... That's how we got started. So it's been a joy. And I'm so excited. I am going to tell you a little bit about Ben and what he does. And then we're going to ask him a few pointed questions. And we're going to have fun. Okay. So happy y'all are with us. Okay. So Ben is a three-time best-selling author and publisher who makes it easy to write a world-class book in just 5 weeks and then launch, position, profit, and make a difference. With 35 years of writing and publishing, Ben has produced more than 352 million magazines. His teachings are used by more than 40,000 people worldwide. Ben helped a Fortune 100 shift culture by creating an empathy video game for employees with MIT. He trained leaders at Stanford and created the first mindfulness program for the ALS Association, Lou Gehrig's disease. Ben believes that people thrive when they relax, smile, and quote-unquote, quit suffering now. Please welcome Ben Joya to the Magnetic Voice podcast. Woo!
Thank you, Monique. I'm so glad to be here.
What an amazing bio. You've kind of got some stuff done.
I did. A couple things here and there. Thank you.
You got a few things done. So I love that you're here because one of the things that we talk about here is obviously the voice and its impact on the world. So my first question to you, Ben, let's dive right in. Why is the voice so important for making an impact?
Thank you for a beautiful, deep question to start us off. How many days do we have?
exactly.
Right. Woof. The voice is, in many ways, it is the bridge between the mind and the heart. And I like to try to remind people that we want to stay more on the heart end of the bridge. Because when we do that and stay connected to our heart, you know, we're really able to create that impact, right? Create that resonance with people. And, you know, this can be a voice literally coming through, sound-wise coming through, or, and this can also be voice that's coming through your writing, you know, the voice that's coming through a painting, a sculpture, but, you know, literally bringing the spirit through the work, through the teaching, you know, through what you're sharing. To me, that's probably the essence of why a voice is so important.
Oh, Ben, I love that. And you're preaching to the choir. It's really beautiful. And I love that you talked about all the different mediums of art. through which the voice resonates. Mm. A lot of times people talk about, obviously, our speaking voice or our singing voice. And we also talk about the voice in writing. Mm. And what are some of the ways that people can make their writing voice or make their voice more powerful or resonant or magnetic, my favorite word, mm-hmm. in their book writing or, you know, creating that? Now, this is your expertise, right? This is your sweet spot, right? Mm-hmm. Helping authors make their voice more powerful, resonant, and magnetic through mm-hmm. their writing. Talk mm-hmm. to me a little bit about that.
Sure. Thank you. So I could answer the same way and say, how many days do we have? right. But for the sake of what we're doing right now, I'd say the first, and this is in no particular order because they're all really important, to connect deeply with your purpose. You know, why the hell are you here? What are you doing with your time and your life and this gift that you have and, you know, the privilege probably that most of us have on some level or another? So connecting to your purpose, expressing your purpose is a big part of that. And for me, in my process, my teaching people in my course, 5-Week Book Mastery, that, you know, the power of dictation in writing your book is gold, is absolute gold.
Ooh, tell me more about that. The power of dictation. I think I know what you mean, but I want to know if I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I say something funny to my the authors in my courses. I say, now that you're in this book writing course, I want you to write as little as possible. Right?
I love that.
You know, and people get a little crazy but what happens is if you very simply write a couple things down on paper, like I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to highlight this, I'm going to reference this little story, I'm going to give a little tip, I'm going to wrap it up like that. You write that down on a piece of paper. And then you speak it into a piece of dictation software or a recording or whatever the thing is, you will get your voice in the words that come out eventually, you know, into electronic form and onto paper in your book. Because you are not writing, you are not thinking, you're not editing, you are teaching and speaking. And for many of us, channeling at that point, like downloading the stuff unrestrictedly and keeping that channel clear and open without any kind of judgment or self-recrimination or doubt or fear or whatever. It's just like we're experts at our stuff. Teach it and don't hinder yourself with writing as you're writing
Ben,
your book.
I just love this because I talk so much about when I'm working with speakers about really, and singers, really tuning in to that divine voice within mm-hmm. and allowing yourself to learn how to let those downloads happen, how to open the channel, as you said. And so when you said taking dictation, I realized that you were being very, very technical about actually speaking into a dictaphone or that kind of technology. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what you're doing, but also allowing the dictation of the divine to flow through you. I love that.
Wow. The dictation of the divine.
Oh, that's magical. I just love that because it is true that there can be, right, an interruption between what is being, okay, so there's the intellectual knowledge that we've accrued and become experts in. Right. And then there is what I call divine voice or that divine intelligence that we can all tap into. Yeah. And so the idea is to marry these two things so that they're always in partnership, I'm guessing. And yep. Then what I imagine is why one of the reasons why you tell your writers, and I just love this, you're going to write much less, as little as possible, is because there can be a disconnect of flow from these two things, doing their dance together and the actual act of moving your hand and the pen on the page. Did I get that right?
That is right. And whether it's pen on page or typing, you know, into a computer, you know, we're editing constantly because that's what we're doing in our workaday lives, if you will. Like, we're trying to not, you know, send a clunky, stupid sentence to someone. So that carries over into the book writing. It's like, oh, I can say that better. Ooh, and it's like, no, stop right now and keep talking. Like, don't inhibit the voice.
Woo, love it. Okay, now, who inspires me to use my voice and why?
That's a good one. Because I want to answer it for you. I want to answer it for me. I want to answer it for everyone in the world.
Well, I think we've already covered one person at least, which is the divine or the universe or the source of all there is, whatever words one is comfortable with. I think that's probably one answer.
Yeah.
Let's hear a few more.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you specifically, Ben.
Thank you.
Who has inspired you?
Thank you. And I do have an answer for the previous version of your question as well in a moment.
Okay, great.
So let's both earmark that. Gosh, who inspires me? I mean, so many people, you know, every day, right? Because I look for it.
Right.
Like, I look to be inspired. And it's not like I look to be inspired because I need it like a drug, right? But I look because I'm looking as much as I can practice, like, with the eyes of abundance and, you know, looking at everybody being amazing and perfect as they are. Like, yes, the world needs a bunch of work. And if you're looking at it like a broken piece of crap, like, it's not going to work so well, making it better, right? So you start looking from the place of perfection. And then you respond to what needs to be done, right? So people around me always often inspire me. Gosh, and then you know, some of the famous people, you know, Malcolm X, right? I mean, certainly a mixed, you know, he did some crappy things too, and didn't treat some people so well, like some women, like many women, and. What an amazing person to have been, you know, first of all, navigating, you know, the race and caste system in the United States and all the terribleness of that that's still going on terribly, right? So he's doing all of that, and he's doing it from a militant kind of stance for so many years. And then he goes and does the Hajj, right? Like, he goes to Mecca and he's there with all these black people and white people and brown people and everything. And he's like, holy crap, we're people. Like, that kind of transformation and allowing himself and then coming back and admitting to everyone, hey, there's a better way to do this. Right? Like, that is so amazing to me. Like, that blew my mind when I first learned that about him.
I really love that. You know, we think we know what we know. And then we journey. And then we find out other things that we thought we knew. And then to be able to have the courage, which you mentioned, to come back and say, you know what, I may have gotten this wrong. Yeah. How about this? Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. And one other person for now, my grandmother, Elaine McLaughlin, who's no longer here with us. You know, for a long time now. So she in, you know, whenever, you know, during World War II, my grandfather was injured in battle. She flew to Europe, like, took care of him. They came back to the States. She was a lawyer already. He was infirmed. So she went to his law school classes to take notes for him and stuff to get him through law school. He got through law school. Then she had seven children and raised seven children over 23 years.
Wow.
And then went back to becoming a lawyer or went back to being a lawyer, pardon me, and spoke like, you know, three or four languages. And there's, you know, several other things that my mom recently told me about, you know, like, she was one of three women in her law school in the 1940s.
Wow.
What? You know, so such a trailblazer and you know, so giving and all the things and brilliant and persistent and, you know, just not having what a lot of society was saying at that point.
So I love that. And what specifically about this amazing woman, she sounds amazing,
yeah,
is inspiring you to use your voice in this very specific way, Ben? Because you're multi-talented. I did a little bit of research.
you
could have gone a lot of different ways, but you chose this one. So could you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. Yeah, I would say the first thing that comes through is the being true to oneself, i.e. being true to one's voice, you know, in one's expression of one's, you know, purpose, life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So she was doing it, being it, expressing it, et cetera.
And if I could add to this, because Please. You didn't say it, but I know this is part of it for you.
Please.
Doing it no matter who's looking.
Oh, yeah, that.
That, right? Because, you know, in her time, she just was, as you put it, a trailblazer. But what that means to me is she followed her voice when the world was telling her not to.
Mm, yep. Bingo.
And I think that as, you know, leaders, this is one of the biggest issues we come in contact with in our journey to become the best leaders that we can become,
right,
is how to stay true. Because, you know, we coach so that we could be good coaches, right? And that's how it should be. And there's so many voices and so many different ways in which to take this journey. It's really important to take in all of those voices and still follow your inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
No matter who's looking.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you. I appreciate you saying that too, because what that reminds me of is, you know, in the listening and following one's voice kind of no matter what, is the giving oneself the space to hear the voice coming through to be able to follow it.
Exactly.
And that can be really tricky, and a whole bunch of the world doesn't do that yet because they don't know how or they haven't heard or...
That's right. And we live in a noisy world,
yeah,
with all of our technology and all of so many voices having the mic. Which is great. You know, that's what America is all about, right? Free speech. Mm-hmm. Yes. And to really, really always go within as well and to leave space for that. So that brings me to something that I read that we didn't talk about, but it really caught my eye that I read about you. Caught my eye because I had a similar experience. It says that you went on a hike in India.
Yep, in the Himalayas.
In the Himalayas, and faced death not one, not two, not three, but four times and kept walking.
Correct.
Yes?
Correct, yes. Yes. So if I may... just clarify a couple of the points. There's actually two stories there, Monique. There's two times in India. It's two walks through the mountains. The first time was southern India. Second time was the Himalayas. The first time was the facing death four times. And the second time was hiking for 9 days with blisters on each of my Achilles tendons.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, walking forward regardless. And you know, both of the stories are fascinating, and I can speak to anything you want me to speak to today, but I for right at this moment, the walking forward no matter what I think really gets illustrated by the second story. So, you know, hiking through the Himalayas, I had gone to India, gone back to India my second time, 2006, and figured out and didn't get new boots for the hike or for the trip. Because I just
so you learned.
Oh my God. So, you know, I get to India. I'm like, does anybody have a, you know, I'm up in Ladakh. So this is, we're up on the Tibetan plateau, like 12,000 feet up. Tibetan Buddhist culture, the whole deal, but this is India, right? Tibetan Buddhist culture. So I'm running around to the stores. I'm like, does anybody have size 13 American boots? They're like, no. What, you crazy? So I find a cobbler on the street and I'm like, hey, can you repair the soles of my boots? And he's like, yes, I can. I replace them with airplane tire rubber.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what? And he's like, yep. And I was like, okay. He does the work. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Wow. Brilliant.
It's the answer. I'm like, thank you so much. And the guy, because he's smart, does the upsell. Hey, you know, you like that. Let me fix this, this, and this. And one of the things was the back part of the shoe or of the boot that touches your Achilles tendons on each side, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if he, in fixing that, he adds a little bit of fabric and a little bit of glue, which makes a little tiny lump. Mm. So by lunchtime of day one of a 9-day trek,
oh God,
I have the two hugest blisters on my Achilles tendons. So I look at that and I am weeping and crying and yelling and, you know, why me and you know, the whole thing, right? Adding a lot of suffering to my experience, right? Judgment, self-judgment. Why didn't you get boots? You're such a schmuck, the whole deal. And the only thing I could literally do was work, you know, walk forward.
Yes. Right?
There's no going back at this point. And, you know, these are 6 to 8 hour a day hikes through riverbeds, dry riverbeds. So this is over rocks and stuff. And then every other day we're doing a high pass. So going from 12,000 up over 16,000 feet and back down again. So every single step, ow, 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 ow. I calculated it roughly 144,000 steps over that trip. Ow, 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 ow. And you know what the amazing thing was?
Tell me.
Right? The big wisdom. So day six or so, you know, and ow, ow, ow the whole time. Still ow, ow, ow. I'm looking. So I'm at 12,000 feet and looking at these majestic 28,000 foot mountain peaks around, like everywhere around me, 20, you know, like, oh my God. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, wow, they're so beautiful. Why are they so beautiful? I mean, obviously they're beautiful, but like, why are they so beautiful? Like there's something extra going on. I'm not on drugs. Like, I know I'm not on drugs. Like what's going on here? Right. Cause there were plenty of drugs in my past. Right. So, and I know what's up, right? I'm not on drugs at this moment. Why? Oh, for the first time in my entire life, thanks to ow, 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 I have been forcibly placed into the present moment for the last 6 days.
Yes.
Oh my God, the present moment. Look at the present moment. Look what happens when you hang out in the present moment.
I love that story. I absolutely adore it. And the piece, one of the pieces that you didn't mention that I really love is so many of us run from pain and do anything to avoid it. Mm-hmm. And your story also illustrates that moving through the pain brings you to a completely different awareness where the pain is no longer the priority.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a beautiful way to say that.
Choosing, really becoming aware that we choose to suffer.
Right.
And we get to, yes, there's going to be pain, but we choose whether to suffer or not.
Right.
I love, love, love that story. Thank you so much for sharing it.
You're welcome.
I want to ask you, because I had the privilege and honor of walking the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, wow.
So I walked across Spain.
Wow.
And so I just want to, not to talk about me. Yes, it's all about me. But no. One thing that really sort of always bugged me about when, as I was preparing, where people would hear, wait, you're going to walk 6 to 8 miles a day for 30 days. Why? Why would you do that? And I know what my answer is, but I would love to hear your answer. Why did you choose that? There's so many things you could have done, but yep. You chose that.
Yep. That's an excellent question. Again, thank you. When I deeply unpack that, wow, this is a good one. When I deeply unpack that, I realize I know that, you know, I had been walking around for much of my life already, you know, on a mission to help, right? Like I knew that no matter what I did, it was going to be in service. Like that's a lot of stuff I learned from my family. And then I went to South Africa for the first time, you know, like to the townships and stuff. And I went, oh, wow, look at the world. Holy crap, I need to help. You know, like I can't not help, right? So in the, you know, burning desire to help and make a massive impact, you know, was all of the crap and, you know, unresolved stuff of me as a human being needing to, you know, release, heal, et cetera. Like we all get that opportunity. Many people don't do it, right? But we all get that opportunity. And so I think there was a deep, this is lovely. I think there was a deep kind of, you know, intuitive knowing that like that was the thing that, I mean, I knew I had to go back to India, right? Like I was at the lowest point in my life. I was at the tail end of many years of like drugs and I mean, all the wrong drugs, the whole deal. And I was like, what can I possibly do at, you know, at this lowest point in my life? I was like, I know I can go back to India. And I went back to India and I was volunteering, living with a family on a farm, you know, in Ladakh, harvesting barley, right? Of all things.
Amazing.
Because that's their thing. And then it was just like, it's, you know, it's time to take this walk. Right.
I love that. It's time to take this walk. And this brings us back to the first part of our conversation, mm-hmm. which is making room mm-hmm. for the silence mm-hmm. so that we can hear that inner voice.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, Ben, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. I have one last question.
Sure.
In your opinion, what is a magnetic voice?
You're so good with questions. Golly. So on one level, the magnetic voice is the voice, I'm going to be redundant for a moment, that attracts people effortlessly to you, people, circumstances, and events to you without you having to make the effort to attract them to you. And then I think the other part of a magnetic voice is that it is the truth, moment to moment to moment to moment, which means that the truth from one moment to a couple moments down the line, or even one moment later, might actually have shifted because you look at the whole universe and, you know, there's no such thing as black and white and no such thing as binary, right?
Love it, love it, love it. All right, my dear listeners, I'm so excited to invite you. If you want more of Mr. Ben Joya, he is going to be offering a wonderful 3-day virtual live event June 18th to 20 called Publish, Position, and Profit Master Plan. Yeah. And we have a link for you to go and check it out. I really invite you to do that. I'm going to be there because I just love your energy. I love that you walk your talk. And I'm so grateful that you were here with us today. Thank you so much for your generous spirit and your beautiful voice.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're very welcome. And thank you so much for having me here and, you know, being such a dynamite interviewer is not enough of a word.
Thank you.
Discoverer.
Discoverer. I love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Thank you so much. We're going to take all of this delicious yumminess that we've just discussed and take it into meditation. Thank you so, so much, Ben.
You're welcome. Thank you, Monique.
And we'll see you soon at your 3-day event. I can't wait. And I can't wait for you all to really get a delicious, long 3-day taste of all that Ben Joya has to offer. Okay, thanks a million. And so we take a deep centering breath. We are here experiencing a storm. We are inviting the sound of the rain and the thunder into our meditation. We are opening to the idea of gratitude. Gratitude for shelter in a storm. Gratitude for putting one foot in front of the other, no matter what. We are inhaling and exhaling the gratitude of journeys. So often we start our journey believing one thing, and then we walk. We put one foot in front of the other. Change our perspective and our location. And we learn that truths that we believed to be true may no longer be true for us. And instead of calling ourselves wrong, we fill ourselves with the gratitude of being a living, growing, blossoming being who continues to grow, who knows that one truth that is true for a time, that serves us for a time, when we experience more and journey through this life of ours more and allow our experiences to unfold within us, they take us to new truths. And so we are willing to allow this unfolding. We no longer try to avoid pain. We take one step, even though it may be an ow, and then another step, which may be also filled with ow. Hurts. But we keep walking. We keep walking. And then we reach a height in our journey. We reach the mountaintop. We bring our consciousness to a new awareness. And even though the ow continues with every step, we become aware of new consciousness, new truths, new ideas to express through our voice, our magnetic voice that calls forth more and more truth, more and more understanding, more and more of the I am energy of the divine. Thank you for your courage.
Buen camino. Gorgeous journey. May the road rise up to meet you. Blessings. And so it is. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Magnetic Voice here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible because of listeners just like you. If you would like to support the channel with your tax-deductible contribution on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The Magnetic Voice is copyright 2021, Monique McDonald, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.